بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As so it follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. So we continue our study of Surah Al-Layl, and we reached وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. Now when there is a أَمَّا in a surah, when we hear the word أَمَّا, when that's mentioned, then we expect another أَمَّا. So أَمَّا means as for the one. And now Allah Azza wa Jal says it again, وَأَمَّا, and as for that one. So in other words, when we hear أَمَّا, we know that there's two types of things that Allah Azza wa Jal is speaking about, and we need to compare both and see which one we belong to. So last week we studied أَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, and then we knew what his result is. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Now وَأَمَّا, as for the one. So this is the other type of person. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. Second type of people is مَنْ بَخِلَ, as for the one who is withheld. He's greedy and he's stingy. So يعني he withheld and he didn't give others any wealth. And if you don't give someone, or you don't give wealth to others, and you don't give wealth to projects and so on, then where do you keep this wealth? Obviously you keep it for yourself. And when you keep wealth for yourself, you start feeling this attitude, it develops inside of you, you start feeling that you're in need of nobody. You don't need anyone. And then you begin to have this attitude of, I can live on my own. So why didn't he give any money? Why didn't he give any wealth? Because he convinced himself that he needs it, right? He started speaking about his future and what he needs for the future, and he's got children and he has so on, and I really can't give now. He convinced himself he needs the wealth, he cannot give anything. And because he kept it for himself, he began to feel superior to everyone, that I'm in need of no one. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. He became self-sufficient, he became independent. Istighna comes from the word istighna, and this means to feel that you're in need, or you're not in need of anyone. And how did this istighna attitude develop inside of him? Because he was greedy, right? He became greedy. He bakhila, he hoarded this wealth, he withheld it. Therefore, he developed this attitude known as istighna. He began to see everyone that they're in need of him, and I don't need anyone. And in another place in the Quran, in Surah At-Taghabun, Allah Azza wa Jal, he responds to such people. He says, فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوا وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. That they disbelieved and they turned away, meaning they considered that it's not worth it to give anything في سبيل الله. There's no need, let's just keep it all for me. They developed that attitude that they aren't in need of anyone. So Allah responds to them by saying, وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهُ. That's your attitude. Allah responded, saying, then Allah doesn't need them. Allah doesn't need anyone. And he concluded the ayah by saying, وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And Allah is truly the one who has no need. He's غني. So everyone can adapt this attitude and this quality of being independent. But at the end, you always know that you're in need of someone. Right? But Allah, وَاللَّهُ غَنِي, meaning He's the only truly one that is in no need of anybody. You can claim that as much as you can, or as much as you want, and you can develop that as much as you want, but at the end, you know that you are always dependent. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy, His forgiveness, His rahmah. And as a matter of fact, you only live because Allah azza wa jal permitted that you live. So Shawkari rahimahullah, he said that such a person, he was greedy with his wealth. And he didn't spend his wealth in any good causes, even though he had so many good opportunities, but he never gave his wealth for anything. And he was very, very reluctant, and he was very unwilling to earn the rewards for the hereafter. So he had this attitude that, I don't need the reward in the hereafter, I just need things now in this world. So that's why he never gave. That's why he became from those who bakhila. And what was the result of that? So he bakhil, he withheld his wealth, and he istaghna, he began to feel superior to everyone, and he's in need of no one. So what happened as a result? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the ayah after it, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, that he lied against the ultimate good. And we spoke about al-husna, and basically Allah summarized the entire Islam in one word, the good, in the ultimate good, the husna. So al-husna is Islam in itself. It's the good, it's the reward that Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving you. This person, كَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى, he didn't believe that there's such a thing called that Allah will give me money back in this life if I was to give, and He'll reward me in the Day of Judgment. He denied and he disbelieved in all of this. And this disease, unfortunately, it is spreading among the Muslims, and it has spread among the Muslims, whether it's in the Muslim world or it's in, يعني, where Muslims live in the Western world. Now, you know, يعني, some Muslims, they began poor, right? They began poor, and money came their way. And they never gave, right? They became from those who bakhil. Allah, they were poor. Allah Azza wa Jal gave them some wealth. They never gave anything back. And bit by bit, they began to amass a lot of wealth, and they become rich. They became rich. And they get wealthier and wealthier. And as they get wealthy, they get far away from the deen. And not only that, but they begin to attack the religion verbally, right? Istighna. They begin to attack the deen verbally. And they say, you know, they begin to question things. What's the good in this and what's the good in that? And why do Muslims do this and why do we do this and why we've been taught this and so on? And they begin to think that we should enlighten the deen, we should change the deen. This is in itself كَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And you notice that it's not just the poor, it's not the poor that do this or who develop such an attitude towards Islam. It's always the rich who once were poor, then they got richer and they started to think that they had power and they have authority, and they would begin to think and convince themselves that I don't need Islam, Islam needs me and it needs my wealth. That's why when there's projects, they come to me because I have money. And this, how did that result? That only resulted because you bakhila. You were stingy, you were tight, you withheld the wealth, you never gave it. And because you never gave, of course your account is going to increase. And once it increases, you'll see figures you won't believe. And therefore you'll have developed this attitude of istighna, which eventually will lead to the major crime of كَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. You'll begin to question things in the deen. You'll begin to understand and to think and convince yourself that Islam needs you. You don't need Islam. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from such an attitude. So for such people that have this attitude and develop this, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to them, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. At the beginning, the one who أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى and صَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, Allah Azza wa Jal facilitated for him, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, the ease. Allah Azza wa Jal made the hardest things the easiest things for him. So He made for him the pathway to the paradise, the pathway to doing the good deeds very easy. Now this person, on the other hand, what did Allah punish him with in this world? فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. We will soon ease him towards difficulty. We will ease him towards difficulty. I'll explain what that means. This is a very scary reality. Al-Usra, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, it's an-nar, it's the hellfire. Meaning, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى means, we'll make the path to the hellfire easy for him. Al-Usra also is the bad and evil deeds. As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has said, لِلْشَرْ نُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْشَرْ, meaning that we will make evil deeds and the sayyi'at will make it easy for him. So that when he commits a sin, he really doesn't care and he doesn't feel bad about it. And one sin will lead to another, and it will keep opening doors for sins. That's how Allah Azza wa Jal punishes him. Others said, فَسَنُعَسِّرُ عَلَيْهِ أَبْوَابَ الصَّلَاحِ وَالْخَيْرِ حَتَّى يَصْعُبَ عَلَيْهِ فِعْلُهَا. Meaning that we will make it difficult for him to do the good. That means he will not be able to pray properly. He won't be able to fast. He won't be able to give zakat. All the good things that Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to do, they now become the very most difficult things in his life. He won't be able to do that. He can only do what's opposite to that, the haram, and that's very, very easy for him. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Allah said لِلْعُسْرَى, He didn't say لِلْعَسِيرِ. لِلْعَسِيرِ means the difficult thing. But لِلْعُسْرَى means the most difficult thing, right? This is like a superlative emphasized for. In other words, when such people develop an attitude of istighna, that they carefree, they don't need anyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse becomes upon them. And the money they spend becomes a source of evil for their future. The money they spend, or obviously he's going to spend money towards his life in this world, but this money that he'll spend, it becomes a source for his own evil. What does that mean? For example, they have children, right? And they spend money on their children. But the children, they become a source of evil to the parent. So that means maybe the parents will die of a heart attack because of the children. Or their blood pressure will go up because of their children. Well, the people that they spent money on become the source of evil towards them. Similarly, Bakhila, right? He amassed this wealth. He never gave. He had a lot of wealth. What did he do with it? He bought houses. He bought land. He bought property. Had a lot, so much wealth. And then in their old age, they begin to lose sleep and begin to stress over, what am I going to do with all this asset, with this property? You know, after I die, where is it going to go? And that's how Allah Azza wa Jalla is punishing him, right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about such people that bakhila wa staghna. He said to him, فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The amazing ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't be impressed and amazed with their wealth and their children. Allah only wants to torture them with those in this worldly life. Yani subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he wants to torture them with their wealth and their children. Subhanallah, they were looking for ease and comfort in these things. But Allah created difficulty and punishment in those things. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَةِ. For this is the result of مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. This wealth that you're collecting, you're going to spend it one day, whether for yourself or for your children, but on wherever you spend it, it will come back and turn against you. That will be the usra itself, where you spend your wealth. And this is why Allah told him, لَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ. When you see someone very rich and doesn't give fi sabilillah and is known for withholding his money, then understand that his wealth and his children, they're only a means of punishment for him, nothing else. فَيَعْنِي, the way you clean yourself from this and the way you allow for your children to be a source of mercy for you is that you give fi sabilillah, as the previous ayah said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. His wealth is not going to make him free of need when he falls off the cliff into the ditch, yani the ditch of the hellfire. Taradda comes from the word radda, radda, which means to throw someone off the cliff, right? Like for example, Allah Azza wa Jal, he forbids upon us to eat al-mutaraddiyah, the meat of al-mutaraddiyah. And when you read al-mutaraddiyah, what's al-mutaraddiyah? It's the animal that died as a result of falling from the cliff. So if a sheep, for example, fell from the cliff and it died, that's haram to eat. Al-mutaraddiyah. So that's why al-mutaradda, taradda, al-taraddi, it means to throw or fall from the cliff. Taradda, the radda means to fall off the cliff. Taradda, as in the ayah, وَمَا يُغْنِ عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا taradda, means to fall yourself off the cliff into the ditch. You throw yourself inside of that. And which ditch we're speaking about? There are two sayings. One says the grave, and the other says the hellfire. And they're both true because they're both sayings you're going to fall into. For the kafir, for the one that bakhila wastaghna. What is his wealth going to do for him when he is going to be fallen, or when he's going to be throwing himself into the grave and into the hellfire? It's going to do nothing for him. So, you know, subhanallah, the one who Allah elevates is the one who a'ta, who gives his wealth. Allah elevates him. The one who wants to elevate himself, then Allah Azza wa Jal throws him in the ditch and he says to him, what is your wealth going to do for you now? How is your wealth going to get you out of this right now? For subhanAllah, there's two. There's one case where Allah elevates you. That's when you give. There's the other case when you want to try to elevate yourself. That's istaghna. You're superior all to all others. You don't need no one. You elevated yourself. You do that, you get thrown back down. And this is وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى. What's it going to do for you when you've fallen? When you're in Jahannam, what is it going to do for you? Absolutely nothing. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. You know, you can have all the wealth you want. You can accumulate all that. But there's only one wealth you can never ever have. You don't and you'll never ever own it. And that is al-huda, the guidance. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, it's only upon us truly to give guidance. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى. You know, as poor or as rich as you are, guidance will never ever ever be yours. And it's only alayna. You see this word alayna, it's been brought forward. Usually or originally what we were expecting is that inna al-huda alayna. But Allah brought the word alayna forward. So what does that imply? It implies exclusivity. In other words, Allah is saying it is only upon us. No one else. Only upon us to give guidance. And it's been interpreted in two ways. What does that mean? The first, Al-Farra rahimahullah, he says, by saying it's only upon us to give guidance, it means that real and true guidance is that which leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is a sign that you have proper guidance? If you're being led to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's only, the second say is that it's only upon Allah to guide, or inna alayna lal-huda. He said that it means it's only upon Allah to guide the human beings. And what does that really mean? It means that Allah Azza wa Jal, He guided the human being before He even revealed Quran to him, or before He even sent a prophet to him. Allah Azza wa Jal, He instilled the fitrah inside of you. That was Allah's guidance to you. And He guided you in the previous surah. What did Allah say? فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He installed inside of you to recognize what's good and what's bad. That's guidance already. Allah gave you that, right? And then on top of all of that, He gave you al-husna, the revelation, the Quran, Islam. So there's a complete package for guidance. So the guidance to the fitrah and the guidance to the Quran that only came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fitrah and this recognition of good and bad and the Quran only came from Allah. So that's the meaning of inna alayna lal-huda. That these things can be from no one except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are truly seeking guidance, then the end of it can't be wealth. It can't be fame. But if you're seeking guidance, the result of guidance isn't more money. The result of guidance isn't more fame and more authority. It can only lead you to Allah. Yes, that's the result of guidance. So the proof of real guidance in your life is if you're getting closer to Allah. Not if you're getting richer or getting more fame. If you're getting close to Allah, then that is real guidance. This is what inna alayna lal-huda means. Samurai, ya hafizahullah, he says, inna alayna lal-huda, meaning that it's only upon Allah to give the people and to clarify to the people the path of guidance. And if we look deep into our deen, we find that Allah Azza wa Jal clarified everything we need to know. From matters of aqidah, belief, to matters of worship, to matters of manners, how to behave yourself, manners of dealing in divorce, in marriage, in business dealings, what we must stay away from, what we should do, everything is mentioned. This is what part of the meaning of alayna lal-huda, meaning it's upon us to show the people the guidance. And Allah has done that in the Quran. Abu Dharr rahimahullah, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, and even the bird that's flying in the sky, he told us something about it. Right? You open the Quran, it speaks to us about birds and what birds do when they fly. And a mushrik once, he came to Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the great companion. And he said to him, did your Prophet teach you how to clean yourself after using the bathroom? So Salman al-Farisi, يعني, radiallahu anhu, he said to him, yes, he even taught us the etiquettes and the manners of how to clean ourselves after we leave the bathroom. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, يعني, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. Today I have completed your religion. And so everything in the Quran and Sunnah is enough for me and you to get us to the paradise. Nothing else. We don't need nothing extra. Everything in the Quran and everything in the Sunnah is enough to lead you to the paradise. So this is inna alayna lal-huda. Allah Azza wa Jal said, it's upon us that we show you the path of guidance. And did He? Yes, of course He did. Of course he did. In the Quran and the Sunnah, there's enough guidance for me and you to enter يعني, the paradise with. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. And it is only we who own the last and the first. Mufassirun said, لَنَا كُلُّ مَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. We own everything that will happen in the hereafter and everything that happens in this world. نَتَصَرَّفُ بِهِ كَيْفَ نَشَاءُ. We mold it and we change situations around however we want. This is وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. يعني for example, there's eclipse tonight. That's upon Allah Azza wa Jal. We change situations around. نَتَصَرَّفُ بِهِ كَيْفَ نَشَاءُ. Something unusual that happens, Allah Azza wa Jal, by His permission it happens. When people see situations changing, they say, where's God? How did He let this happen? Well, Allah is letting us know that all change is by His permission. Why? Because He owns everything, He's in complete control. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. So then the Mufassirun say, فَمَنْ أَرَادَهُمَا أَوْ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَلْيَطْلُبْ ذَلِكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Then whoever wants one of them, meaning if you only want the dunya, or you only want the akhirah, or if you want both, then ask Allah, because Allah Azza wa Jal owns it. Now what do we ask? What do we ask Allah for? What did Allah Azza wa Jal teach us to ask Him for? He taught us to ask for both. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, teaches us, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. You know, oh Allah, give us good in this life and give us good in the hereafter. So if we want both, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for both. That's one thing in وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. He owns it, therefore ask Him for it. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions the akhirah first. There's another thing in the ayah we need to discuss. He says, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. He mentioned the akhirah, which is the hereafter, first. And then he said, al-ula, which is this world. And you know, there's three reasons for this. Three reasons. One we already discussed. And we said that because of the style of the way Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed this surah, so it all ends with an alif maqsura, right? وَالشَّمْسِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Until we got to وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى, to keep the rhythm going. Otherwise, if you said وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةَ, it would have cut the rhythm. So there's one reason, right? Al-akhirah means the hereafter, al-ula means this world. And we're saying that we were expecting al-ula first, since that's the first thing we're in, and al-akhirah is the second that will be after this world. But Allah flipped it. He mentioned the hereafter first, and He mentioned this life second. So one reason was the style of the recitation of this ayah, the rhythm, to keep it going. The second thing is the theme of this surah. So it can flow with the theme of the surah. Remember, the theme of the surah was that it mentioned first things last and last things first. يعني in other words, when Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Remember, we said what comes first, that you believe in al-husna. Then you develop taqwa, and then when you have taqwa, you give. But he mentioned giving first, right? So the style and the theme of this surah is that it mentioned the first things last and the last things first. So what's the last thing? The akhirah is the last. So it's in first in the ayah. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةِ. And then the first thing we're living now is in الدُّنْيَا, al-ula. So that's the last thing he mentioned. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. That's one. The last, and then focus on this. This is where the point is. In order to understand this last one, we need to compare it to something similar to it in Surah Al-Qasas. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Qasas, وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. Praise and gratitude belongs to Allah in the first and the last. In Surah Al-Qasas, He said the world first, and then the hereafter second. In this surah, Surah Al-Layl, He's flipped it around. He mentioned the hereafter first, and then He mentioned the world second. How come? In Surah Al-Qasas, the passage was about the favors of Allah. The favors of Allah. And where do we appreciate the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal? In this life, in this life here. So he mentioned it first. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ. But this surah, it's not about the favors in this world. This surah was about not getting distracted and not getting lost in this world, and that you should worry and you should focus more about the akhirah. So the akhirah was mentioned first. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. Subhanallah, it's the consistency of the Qur'an. When the passage was about the favors of Allah, we appreciate that here, so he mentioned al-ula first. Surah Al-Layl, it's all about, don't worry, don't focus too much in this world. Give. You know, it's all about the hereafter. Focus in the hereafter. Therefore, he mentioned the hereafter first. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. Now the other thing is, in Surah Al-Najm, Allah says, فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ وَالْأُولَى. In Surah Al-Najm. And here also he says, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. Same. But there's only one difference. Over there he said, فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ وَالْأُولَى. To Allah belongs the life and the next. But here in this surah, he added a lam. Right? He added a lam. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةُ. Over there, فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ. فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ. Here, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةُ. The difference between this one and Surah Al-Najm is that there's an extra lamb here. So the other one, it meant to Allah belongs the life and the next. And here there's more emphasis. He's saying, no doubt, they truly only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why did he emphasize it more in Surah Al-Layl with the lamb? Well, this is what we need to understand. The word lana, by the way, it means, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةِ. The word lana, it means ownership, right? Mulkiyah, they say, ownership. And this surah has been talking about ownership and wealth, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, أَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. He gave. What do you give? You give what you own, right? He said, بَخِلَ. Someone to withhold, to be greedy. And what are you greedy with? You're greedy with what you own. إِسْتَغْنَى. Be free of need, right? Because of what? Why are you free of need? Because of what you own. And then later on we're going to read, يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. He gives his wealth. You give wealth, the wealth that you own, right? So the whole surah is about wealth and ownership and wealth and so on. And it's repeated in the surah. But you should never forget that true ownership only belongs to Allah. So he said, وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. He added that lamb to extra emphasize that the ownership only belongs to Allah, because you might be lost in all of this and think, oh, truly this is mine, because Allah is saying he gives and I give what I own, and he yu'ti, he give what you own. So Allah emphasizes that maybe you own it, but the real ownership is for Allah. So the lamb is added to give that emphasis that you might own something now, but real ownership is only truly to Allah. How did you communicate this? With the extra lamb. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. You know, so when you accept this in your life, when you accept this ayah and accept this emphasis, that he truly owns everything, guess what happens? It will become very, very easy for you to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when you feel like you have to spend, when you feel like that the wealth is yours, it becomes very difficult to spend. When you feel like it's yours, you own it, becomes very hard to spend. But when you know it's not yours, it's very easy to give. And Allah is teaching us that it's not yours, just by that lamb. وَإِنَّ لَنَا لَلْآخِرَةَ وَالْأُولَى. Right? So, يعني, subhanAllah, how this surah in itself, it's encouraging, it's pushing that you shall give from your wealth, fi sabilillah, not only give, but a'ta, which meant to give a lot, right? But we'll see at the end how the wording will change when Allah says, alladhi yu'ti ma lahu. Right? It's interesting, right at the end, doesn't he? Yu'ti, he says yu'ti. Okay. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla says after this, fa'anzartukum naran talazza. Fa'anzartukum naran talazza. In the previous surah, Salih alayhi salam, he warned his people. He said to them, watch out, the she-camel of Allah. Don't touch it. Don't kill it. Watch out. People didn't take the warning seriously. So now Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching Quraysh something. First, he gave them that lesson in history about Salih. He gave them that lesson in history that these people didn't obey their messenger. So Allah destroyed them. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. And Allah is telling Quraysh now, don't think that the messenger is warning you. I'm warning you. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ I am warning you. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, I have warned you. That's what أَنذَرْتُكُمْ means. In the previous surah, a prophet of Allah was warning. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah himself is doing the warning. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ In the previous surah, the prophet was warning of bad deeds, right? He was warning of a bad deed. Don't come near the she-camel. Don't kill it. In this surah, Allah isn't warning of the bad deeds. He's warning of the consequences of bad deeds. The result of the bad deed. If you do the bad deed, what do you get? So he says, نَارًا تَلَظَّى I warn you of a blazing fire. تَلَظَّى You know this, the word تَلَظَّى يعني تتوقد وتتهوج Right? Something that keeps sparkling and crackling. You know when the fire has a noise, when it has a sound, it's just popping all over the place? That's talavva, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, I'm warning you of a crackling, blazing, sparking fire. Originally the word is naran tatalavva. But Allah Azza wa Jal omitted one ta, and he just said, andartukum naran talavva without that extra ta. That implies the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. It implies anger. So even in the ayah, there's this sense of Allah Azza wa Jal being angry towards the kuffar who never took Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's warning seriously. And he said, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى Now the word أَنذَرْتُكُمْ comes from the word إِنذَار. And إِنذَار is to warn and scare someone thoroughly. إِنذَار, I'll give you the real meaning of إِنذَار. You know, إِنذَار actually it means to sit someone down and to explain to him the entire situation. You assume he doesn't know anything. He doesn't assume the dangers he's getting into. So you make them aware of the entire situation. And you make them aware that if they keep going down this path, that they're going to go into great danger. And you warn them and you make them aware that look, the consequences of what you're getting to is really, really bad. And then finally you scare them from that danger. That's inzar. So inzar is to thoroughly and fully inform and warn someone. That's what inzar is. So by Allah Azza wa Jal using this word in the Qur'an, He's letting us know that the Qur'an is enough to make you fully aware of what kind of situation you're in. And it's enough to make us fully aware of where you're headed if you remain as bakhila wa stana. And it's enough to make us fully aware of what's going to happen there. That's what the word inzar is teaching. That the Qur'an is enough. It's enough. Allah has explained enough in the Qur'an what dangers are the result of the bad deed you'll commit. You do this, it is enough. You don't get there surprised because you already know. أَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى Now there's one beautiful thing here we need to also communicate and talk about. أَنذَرْتُكُمْ is a past tense. I have warned you. Similarly, we find in other surah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَقُلْ أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً The surah Fussilat, أَنذَرْتُكُمْ, also a past tense. We read in surah An-Naba, أَنذِرُكُمْ, أَنذَرْتُكُمْ عَذَابًا, right? أَنذَرْتُكُمْ عَذَابًا. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا Sorry. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ That's in the past. But you know, we find it one time, or sometimes we find it in the present. But this is how it comes in the context. When Allah Azza wa Jal says, for example, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أُنذِرُكُمْ بِالْوَحِي أُنذِرُكُمْ بِالْوَحِي I am warning you through this wahi. Now, أُنذِرُكُمْ is a present tense. أَنذَرْتُكُمْ is a past tense. And you know, one thing you need to differentiate between the present and the past is that the present tense يدل على الحدوث. Sorry, the past tense يدل على الحدوث. Meaning the past tense, it implies a one-off thing, one-time thing. And present tense يدل على الاستمرار. It implies continual, something that's happening continually. Well, subhanAllah. The punishment is one thing, right? So every time Allah spoke about the punishment, He mentioned in the past tense, أَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارٍ A fire is one of thing that people will face, is one of thing that they'll face later on. So He mentioned in the past tense, أَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارٍ When He says, أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا عَذَابًا is the punishment, that's a one of thing. So He mentioned in the past tense. But the present tense, He would use it with the word الْوَحِي And wahi is revelation. And you know, revelation is continually being sent down. And every time wahi comes down, there is a warning about the hereafter. Every single time wahi comes down, there's a warning of the hereafter and a warning of not doing the bad. So because the wahi is something that is continual, therefore he used anzartukum, or he used the word present tense. And when it's a one-off thing, which was the adab, he used the past tense. Subhanallah, this is also from the grammatical beauty of the Qur'an that is consistent all over in the Qur'an like this. And this is not only with the word anzartukum, this is with many, many other words in the Qur'an. I'll just give you one more example, the word qatala and yaqtul. Qatala, he killed, that's the past. Yaqtul is a present tense, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal, he uses them both in the Qur'an, close to each other in two ayat. The first one, he says, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا وَمَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا خَطَأَ. Whoever killed a believer by accident. And the other ayah, he says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. Whoever kills the present, a believer on purpose. Now, you know, if you kill someone on purpose, it's most likely that you'll kill again. So he used the present, which alludes to something continual will happen. But if you kill someone by accident, then most likely it will never happen again. It was just a one-off thing. Because it was a one-off, he said, وَمَنْ قَتَلَ in the past tense. So all out in the Qur'an, it's like this, subhanAllah. فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. Anyway, getting back, he said, لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. Now this fire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, who's this fire for? Who has Allah Azza wa Jal prepared it for? He said, لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. No one will throw themselves into it. يَصْلَاهَا meaning throw themselves into it, into the fire, except the most wretched, the most evil, the most wretched. And you know, يَصْلَاهَا comes from the word صَلِي. And صَلِي means to burn in the fire. The actual flame you're burning inside of it, that's صَلِي. Right? So people, maybe they can die as a result of heat exposure, right? Or die as a result of smoke inhalation. But that's not the case. Allah is saying that they're actually burning, but they're burning inside of that flame, inside of it. That's صلي. لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى. So no one will throw themselves inside of it except the most wretched, الأشقى. You know, in Surah Al-Shams, the previous surah, Allah told us what this أشقى did in his life. He told us what he did. What did he do? فَعَقَرُوهَا. He killed the camel, right? إِذِنْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَ فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. Allah told us in Surah Al-Shams that this أَشْقَى, he told us of his crime, he killed the she camel. Now in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us what happened to that أَشْقَى in the next life. What's going to happen to him? لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. He'll be throwing himself into the blazing, hot, crackling, sparkling fire, right? Now, so no one will enter it except the ashqa. Also, in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he told us that Salih alayhi salam, he told his people, don't approach the she-camel. What did they do? They approached it. In this surah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Quraysh, come to the Qur'an. What are they doing? They're turning away. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. Now Allah is defining to us al-ashqa. He's defining to us who's the most evil. The most evil in this surah, Allah says, الَّذِي. It's the one who كَذَّبَ. He lied against. كَذَّبَ lied against. What did he lie against? Lied against everything. Lied against the Prophet, lied against Allah, lied against the messenger, against the message, against the good, lied against that there is reward for those who give fi sabilillah, lied against the reward that's in the paradise over there. He lied against all of this. So Allah didn't specify one thing because he lied against all of them. So Allah didn't say, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ بِالرَّسُولِ وَالَّذِي كَذَّبَ بِاللَّهِ. Why? He kept it very comprehensive because it implies that he lied against all of these. الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. And this person, he lied against. Also in the context of the surah, كَذَّبْ بِالْحُسْنَى. You remember I mentioned before Allah said, وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. So automatically it means, الَّذِي كَذَّبْ كَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And we said, الْحُسْنَى is everything. Right? It's everything. Basically it summarizes Islam, all of it in itself. So كَذَّبَ is an internal thing, right? He كَذَّبْ from inside. And what did that result to? It resulted to an external crime, which was وَتَوَلَّى. And as a result, he turned away. He turned from the message and he completely walked the other way. Subhanallah. In the first, as we said in Surah Al-Shams, the Rasul said, don't approach the camel. They came and they killed it. Here Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, come towards the Qur'an. Come to the Qur'an. What are they doing? Tawalla. They just turned the opposite way and went. Subhanallah. So, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنَا يَعْنِي السَّابُرَّاءِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. He says, who else did he turn away from? وَتَوَلَّى, he turned away. Now Allah didn't say that. He turned away from the Qur'an, turned away from Islam. It implies all of that, but it also has more meaning to it. وَتَوَلَّى, in the context, in the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the orphans and the needy. And that's something else they turned away from. Because he was withheld his wealth, that means he turned away from the poor and from the orphans and from the needy. Every time there was a there was a good cause of a fundraiser or something that is going to orphans, that is going to needy, he doesn't need it. He just turns away. That's what tawalla in the context of the surah as well. فَالَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he did not specifically tell us what he lied against and what he turned away from. Because again, the theme of the surah, remember, what was the theme of the surah? It expected you to fill in gaps. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, I swear by the night as it covers. Covers what? You're expected to think of it. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, as for the one who gives. Gave who and gives what? Allah didn't say, because it's supposed to be known from the previous surah. So similarly, he كَذَّبْ, كَذَّبْ against what? Turned away from what? That's all expected for you to fill in. As we said and we keep saying, the theme of the surah expects you to fill in the gaps. الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. We stop here inshaAllah ta'ala next week. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We'll finish the surah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, now he gives an exclusion. The only one that will be saved from the fire is Al-Atqa. What exactly is Al-Atqa? And how does Allah define Al-Atqa in this surah? He says, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. Right? I just want to let you keep this question in your mind. At the beginning, Allah said, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, as for the one who gave. And I told you the difference between أَعْطَى and آتَى. What does أَعْطَى mean? And آتَى? Gives. Okay. So at the beginning, Allah told us somewhat about someone that gave a lot. Now Allah is saying, الْأَتْقَى is the one, الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ. So now exactly how much wealth does Allah Azza wa Jal want from us? الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَا لَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Why is he giving this wealth? Allah will teach us how much to give and why you should give it, right? And this also, some say that these ayat were special for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then, and the ayat, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, they came because of Umayyah ibn Khalaf, right? Which was a mushrik from Quraysh in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then also we'll discuss, is it really the case that these ayat are only special for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and that ayah is only special for Umayyah ibn Khalaf? We'll mention that bi-iznillahi ta'ala next week. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إنه لي ذلك القادر عليه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. No.
Sorry, just can you repeat the difference between with inna ma unzilukum bil wahy, continuous revelation,
okay. And darkum now. Okay. Now. All right. Maybe for those that didn't understand it, the question is that anzartukum and unzirukum. Unzirukum is the present tense. Anzartukum is the past tense. In Arabic, past tense implies huduth, meaning something that happens once. Very, very rarely, once. And present tense implies istimrar, continual, something that happens continuously. So when Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the fire, the punishment, what's that? That's a one-off thing. You jump in there, you're in there, that's it. That's a one thing for you. So when it's a one thing, he mentioned what's more appropriate? The past. Right? The past. So, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا. He spoke about the fire, نَارًا. It's a one-off thing. Alright? إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا. So, عَذَاب is the fire. عَذَابًا. Okay. So, أَنذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِقَةً. The صَاعِقَة happened once, which was the punishment that came from Allah. It happened once upon them, right? Because it happened once, the most appropriate verb to use is the past tense, and that's أَنذَرْتُكُمْ. أُنذِرُكُمْ بِالْوَحِي. I am warning you through this wahi. Now, the wahi, is it something that is a one-off thing or a continual thing? It's a continual thing. Every few days the wahi is coming down on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over 23 years. And every time the wahi is coming down, it is counted as going towards warning you. Every ayah is warning you. So if the ayat were about a previous nation, then Allah is warning you, look, the previous nation did this, if you do this, you'll get the same thing. Right? This is what the Qur'an is doing. The ayat will come down, would say, Allah Azza wa Jal forbid this. So that's a warning. Meaning if you do it, you're going to face that consequence. So because the Qur'an, the wahi is always coming down, Allah said, Unzirukum, I warn you, and I'm warning you through the wahi, which continually comes down. The most appropriate term, tense to use, is the present tense, wallahu a'lam. Now, tafadhal.
You mentioned the curse of Allah. When Allah mentions His curse in the Qur'an, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, na'am. So the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, it means يعني His punishment upon you. And it means that يعني He strips His mercy away from you on the Day of Judgment. Right, so not necessarily in this life, you might have some mercy. The fact that you're still alive, that's the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman. Everyone has a portion of the name Ar-Rahman. Even the kafir has a portion of the name Ar-Rahman. But the kafir doesn't have a portion of the name Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim is only over there. That's the difference between Rahman and Rahim. Ar-Rahman is for Allah, for all of us in this world. And Ar-Rahim, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, that's only special for the believers on the Day of Judgment. So, يعني, that's what it means. The curse of Allah means that, يعني, the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning, أَطَّرْضُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ, that He'll throw you and kick you away from His mercy on the Day of Judgment, right? And that's the la'nah of Allah, for example. When we say, la'anahu Allah for Iblis, for example, right? May Allah curse you. La'anahu Allah. What does that mean? Meaning we're saying, may you never see the mercy of Allah. That's al-la'na upon يعني, Iblis. May you never see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, but anyway, when it comes to shaitan, we're not supposed to say la'anahu Allah. We're supposed to say na'udhu billahi minhu. We seek refuge of Allah from him, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allah azza wa jal, he taught in the Qur'an, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. So when a shaitan is mentioned, there's no use of saying la'anahu Allah. Well, he's already cursed. It's not going to add in his curse. He's already cursed. The most appropriate thing to say, you say, na'udhu billahi minhu, we seek refuge of Allah from him. And this is like, يعني, what Al-Fudayl, يعني, رضي الله عنه ورحمه, he explained, he said, you know, he said like, if you were going from town to town, traveling, and يعني, there's a dog halfway on the road, and this dog, يعني, you know that he's going to distract you every time you walk in the road. You have business. You're always going to have to go from this town to this town. And there's a dog. And every time you see the dog, what are you going to do? You're going to grab rocks and throw it at him. One, two, three. He might go away. But now on the way back to the town, he might come again. Or you'll throw rocks at him. What's the best way to get rid of the dog? Go to the owner of the dog and say, listen, your dog is doing this and this. I'm going to tie him up. And then you'll never see him again. So يعني, it's like what he was trying to say is that every time you say la'anahu Allah, may Allah curse him, it's like you're throwing stones at it, which maybe will get rid of him for a while and then he'll come back. But when you say a'udhu billahi minhu, then you ask Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who created him, يعني, keep this shaitan away from me, and that's يعني, much more beneficial.